Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR podcast brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. More Talladega podcasts, not that you need them, but we're going to do them. And it's happening. Exactly what I said would happen is happening. But first, remember, RaceForThePrize.com, that's where you can get access to the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet for Talladega. You got Dover next week. It's the end of the month, I understand. So if you go ahead and buy May, I'll throw in the rest of April discount deal. There you go. Nice guy, because I want you to be with us. I want you to be a part of this thing. We're having a blast here. Everything's rocking and rolling. So what do I mean by it's happening? Idle hands. People have time on their hands. People have time to kill. It's a Talladega Super Speedway week. Research is a little different, and so the ideas start to come into your mind about changing your philosophy that you've stuck to for the last decade, which is, here we go, say it with me, rule number one, stack in the back. Rule number two, 30 to 10 to win, 29 to 9, 28 to 8, you basically need about 20 place differential points. That's a general rule of thumb. We're aiming for 50. And then last but not least, your third rule, don't worry about building the optimal lineup. Build the winning lineup. So one, stack in the back. Two, 30 to 10 to win. And three, don't worry about the optimal lineup. Build the winning lineup. That's all you need to know. There's no more guidance, no more strategy. Just look at the numbers. That is the end of the podcast. That is the end of every podcast. That is full stop. No more live streams for the rest of the week. But it doesn't work that way. We need tweets. We need articles. We need live streams. We need content. We need information. We need something to talk about. There's nothing to talk about. We just talked about it. There's nothing else to talk about. We have literally covered every single base. Go live your life. Go outside. Touch grass, as they say. I'm not one of those people, but you'll hear people say that. And it's true. Go. You're fine. You're done. You don't need to. But here we go. It's happening. The ideas are filtering out. So I will say that first off, I disagree with Phil. And before I explain my disagreement with Phil, let me couch this or genuinely say what I believe, and that is, Phil at Race Sheets DFS is one of the kindest, nicest guys on planet Earth. I genuinely mean that. Phil is one of the most genuine, decent, awesome guys in DFS for sure, if not the best. He is a great guy. He's a nice guy. He's a good government employee, if there's such a thing. He's a good Catholic. He's a good father, good husband, a good fitness instructor. He has a wealth of knowledge and a lot of different things. He is a great follower. Nothing but positive things to say. But I can also disagree with him civilly. And so Phil says, there's perception, then there's reality. If you think super speedway racing is still the same as it ever was, well, at least the past two decades, then rewatch Spring 23 Talladega and see just how little movement through the field there is once the field gets up to speed. I disagree. I have warned all week that idle hands are going to create these theories, that people are going to try to think of new ways and outsmart themselves and get way too cute. Phil believes that we have a different style of racing. Phil believes that things have changed. Phil believes that there is no movement in the field. I believe that nothing has changed, that we are overthinking things, they are overanalyzing things. I myself have been guilty of this in the past, being in the Talladega content week where there's really nothing much to cover because we've already covered everything before. Decades of the same super speedway stats and decades of the same super speedway results. And you've listened to it and I've said it. And so what happens, and I warned about this early in the week, and I've warned about this almost every super speedway week for the last couple years, that content providers start to just try to think of new things. And there's no problem with being creative and trying to create new content and engage your audience and all of these things. But at what cost? And so if you read this and you read through the thread, there's a couple people say, nah, I disagree. I would be one of those. And then there's some people like, oh, things changed. No, things have not changed. Perception and reality. Well, let's just talk about the reality. And it's really simple because we can just pull up the numbers. He says there's no movement. Let's just look at last year. Here we go. On your screen, lap 176, Talladega, fall race. Denny Hamlin is in 24th. 10 laps later, he's in 4th place. No movement. That is 20 spots in 10 laps. Perception and reality. Again, love Phil, but it's okay. We can disagree. And I would say that it's not even my feelings or his perception or my perception. We'll just deal with the reality. And the reality is the numbers say on lap 176 at Talladega in the fall, Denny Hamlin was in 24th place. 10 laps later-ish, he was in 4th place. That is a movement of 20 spots. So I would argue, based on statistical evidence, I mean, look, I'm just simply going back to, all right, when was the most recent time at Talladega? Hell, I mean, we're just looking at the last 10 laps at Talladega. There is nothing more accurate. Like, hey, what's going to happen at Talladega? I don't know. When was the last time they're at Talladega? Hell, let's just look at the very last laps, the last time they're at Talladega. And the guy moves 20 spots. 20 spots. I mean, even William Byron, 7 to 3rd. That's 4 spots gained within 10 laps. What are we talking about? Well, the only gain, but he was in 7th. There were only so many spots for him to gain. He literally could only gain 2 more. He nearly maximized his movement in that run. Corey LaJoie drives from 13th to 5th over 10 laps. That's movement. Austin Cindric was in 25th on lap 176. He finishes in 6th. That's nearly 20 spots of movement. Another 5 for Haley. Oh, well, Chase Elliott didn't go anywhere. Actually, he did. Chase Elliott was in 5th to 1st. 1st to 4th. Back to 1st. And then the 7th. I mean, that is a yo-yo, accordion, roller coaster. What are we talking about? No movement. I mean, if anyone illustrates that, yeah, they are making moves. They are passing. Now, are they tandem drafting? No, they only tandem drafted for a couple seasons. That was a small window of plate racing. Is this 2002, 2000 era, 1990s Dale Earnhardt Sr. really just lap in the field? No, that's obviously out the window. But for the most part, the freight train, pack racing, draft racing that has existed over the last 2 decades still exists today. You pick the right line, you get a 3rd line, you make a little bit of a shuffle step, and there is going to be movement. I cannot see how anyone else, I don't see how anyone could argue that there isn't any movement. Now, are there going to be dry spells during the race where they're churning and burning and motoring for the cup? Yeah, that's what they always have done. They don't run hard for 200 laps. They've never run hard for 200 laps. There are times where everyone takes it easy and quietly agrees to just stay in line. That's always been the case. But when it's time to move, when it's time to boogie, when it's time to get down, they do it. They always have, they always will, and here you can see it. And I think it's dangerous sometimes to say these things and not completely explain. Now, if Phil's saying for the majority of the race, there's not going to be any movement, that is absolutely correct, and that has always been correct. But then again, that's kind of the way it's always been, and give the idea that that's not the way that it's always been and always the way it will be is kind of a little misleading. And I think people are going to take this tweet and think that something significantly has changed. Nothing has significantly changed. Everything is still the same. We don't get a lot of movement throughout most of the race, and then we get movement at the big parts. That's the way it was, that's the way it is, and that's the way it has always been. So there's not really a change. Don't change what you have doing. Don't read the tweet and think, oh, something's different. I got to start building different. Do not do that. One, stacking the back 230 to win, to 30 to 10 to win, and three, you don't try to build the optimal lineup, build a winning lineup. I just worry. That's why I brought this up early in the week. And it's still early in the week. The live shows haven't popped up. Some people are going to get it twisted. There is movement when it matters. It is still same old Talladega. It is still same old Daytona. There is still chaos. And sometimes you don't even need chaos. I know a lot of times, like, oh, there's not a lot of wrecks. I'm going to have to build people from the front. Not necessarily. I mean, look, Denny Hamlin finishes in fourth. His average running position was 24.8. Tell me there's not movement. His average running position was basically 25th, and he finishes inside the top five. Tell me there isn't movement. Tell me there isn't opportunity to make gains without wrecks, because there isn't a wreck over the last 10 laps. You don't always need chaos. Hamlin didn't need chaos to get to the front. LaJoie didn't need chaos and wrecks and cars flipping and flying to get to the front. Neither did Austin Cindric or Haley. I mean, look at what happened to Chase Elliott. I mean, you're talking about boogie and talking about getting down. I mean, this is like a honky-tonk square dance. This guy's promenading, stepping forward, stepping backwards, doing a little curtsy, sashay to the left, tapping the heel, watermelon crawl. Priest, 27th to 9th. Riley Herbst, 3rd back to 10th. No movement. It's not all positive movement. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. We'll look at the sad sack here in a second. Chase Briscoe was in 28th. He finishes in 14th. No movement. Christopher Bell, 22nd. He finishes in 15th. No movement. Kyle Larson was in 5th. Sorry, Young Money fans. He finished 14th. No movement. Tyler Reddick, 19th, back to 25th, back up to 17th. Eric Almirola, before the caution, was leading. Outside of the caution, he's in 9th. All right, whatever. But 9th to 18th. I mean, here's the kicker. You want the kicker? It's Alex Bowman was leading this race on lap 179. He finishes at last car on the lead freaking lap. Alex Bowman was leading this race on lap 179 of 188. And he finishes the race, the last car on the lead lap. Well, there was a little bit of a wreck at the end. He was in 20th the lap before that. He was in 20th the lap before that. Tell me there's no movement. I am sorry that I am screaming at you right now, but it is just absolutely preposterous to promote these ideas that something has changed, that there is a different reality in which we are living in. This is not a red pill moment. There's not something that you now see. There is no Matrix. There is just Talladega. It is always the same. It always has been the same. It all was Ohio. Whoa. We are flipping out on a Thursday morning. This guy is wigging out. All right, I got to calm down. Love, Phil. He's just wrong. There's perception and there's reality. There's just reality. And the reality is Talladega hasn't changed. If you think speedway racing is still the same, it is, as it ever was. It is. Well, at least the past 2 decades. Then rewatch spring. Or just look at the most recent laps. Look at the most recent laps. And see how little movement. There's a ton of movement through the field. Once people get up to speed. Like, what's that mean once they get up to speed? They're up to speed the whole time. Now, in defense of Phil, and this is not spring 23, in defense of Phil based on 24, so this is really a hard sell because he is pointing to a race that I think if he were to point to the Daytona and Atlanta 2024 where we have fuel saving now, if he was making that point where guys are not running 100% throttle and it's very easy to maintain your speed at 80%, and to just go out there and turn laps, I think he would have had a stronger point. And that is something that you are going to want to explore, but not really, because, look, here's the thing. Again, idle hands for coming up with stupid ideas. So here's a stupid idea. But let me again give you a precautionary tale of one stack in the back, 230-10 to win three. Don't try to build the optimal lineup, build the winning lineup. Okay, if you got your information, cool. Now I'm going to say something. You don't really even have to believe in it. If we get into a fuel race, fuel saving situation, pit road, speedy, quick time situation like we saw at Daytona, Atlanta, drivers are running 80% to save fuel because they want to have quicker pit times so that they can make gains on pit road, blah, 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 blah. You know how that works. If they're running 80%, then they're not going to wreck, and there will be very little movement throughout the field for about 80% of the race. Who cares? That is typical. There's not going to be any movement in the field. There never really is movement in the field for the majority of a plate race. For the majority of the super speedway laps, they churn and burn. They motor for the cup. They dastardly maneuver. That's how it works. Then the other 20%, the other quarter of the race or more or less, 20%, 15%, it doesn't really matter how much because enough is enough. They will move. They will boogie. They will grind. They will do a shuffle step. And during that shuffle step, someone's going to step on somebody's toes. And there it goes. The wrecks, the chaos. And then even when we don't get the wrecks and the chaos, as we have seen on the screen, movements can be made. You don't really need it. Once it's time to go, it's time to go. And they will blow. And you will know, screaming and rhyming, what a day. So all is well, all is the same. Phil's a great guy. Love Phil. Truly mean that, but I disagree. And if you read that tweet, I just encourage you to don't change what you've been doing. Stack in the back. 32-10 to win, or 29-9, you're aiming for 50 fantasy points when you're making those picks. When you're stacking that back, when you're looking at your pool of drivers, you're envisioning 50 fantasy points. General thumb, 30-10 to win. Start 30th, finish 10th, that guy's going to make it. That's good enough. If you can't envision that driver, BJ McLeod, getting the top 10 from 30th, then he's not going to be in your pool. Now, you're going to get BJ McLeod probably starting 38. 38 to 18? All right. He is back in your pool. That can work. That's the idea here. And then last but not least, do not worry about building the optimal lineup. That is a distraction. That's going to get you to try to be cute and pick drivers starting 11th or 12th. And while they might be optimal, they have huge floors. And statistically, based on probability and the results that we have seen going back to 2015, they don't hit. They do occasionally come through, but you don't need to play them. You can play higher probability drivers. Drivers that the statistics say are more successful by simply stacking in the back, and you can build a winning lineup. May not be the best lineup on paper, but it will likely beat everyone else's lineups, and you'll win a boatload of cash. Last but not least, we'll close the podcast with some actual stats as opposed to rants. Again, because I tread cautiously, Phil's great. We just disagree. Phil's great. I don't want any flame war. I'll never have a flame war with Phil. There are other guys out there that just want to troll me and fight me and make up lies about me. Phil would never do that. Phil's a great dude. And he'll just say, hey, agree, disagree. And we can politely go or, you know, have a conversation. It's cool. That's one of the reasons why I was able to say, you know, if I were to read a tweet from some other DFSer and it's blatantly wrong, I wouldn't bring it up. You know, I did that earlier this year where there was some misinformation. I know misinformation. What is this guy working for the administration? There was statistics that were falsely reported, and I mentioned them on my podcast and started a little bit of a tout war, and then I got this troll guy that came in and started flaming up my comments, and then there are some things that were said about me that were kind of wrong, but it's okay. I let it slide. Man, I'm a grown man. I don't worry about stuff, so I don't care. And I don't want to start that stuff. So there are things that I see like, oh man, that's wrong, but I just don't have the time or the patience to really have to deal with, you know, the drama. But I can mention Phil's tweet because Phil is a well-respected man amongst the community, and I can bring that up, and he's going to be like, oh, okay, I see your point. Anyway, so what you see on your screen here is DFS Top 10, and this goes along with our theme of our rule number three. What's rule number three? Well, remember, one, stacking the back, two, 30-10 to win, three, don't build the optimal, build the winning. Rather than trying to pick drivers that have been optimal, we want that 30-10 to win. So here's the easiest way. If you're using the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet at racefortheprize.com, go ahead, purchase May, get on in. If not, at least like, subscribe, share, recruit more people to this crazy video where I've lost my mind. I'm going back to my old ways. People are like, yeah, old Pierce is back. Buckle up. This guy's losing his mind again. I'm not losing my mind again. I was just afforded the opportunity because I know that Phil's actually probably, if he listens, is one appreciating my madness. If there's anyone who is very accustomed and knows my wildness, it will be him. So he probably appreciates it. And I know that I could scream and yell and flip out as long as it was under that. So anyway, we're looking at their top 10 percentage. We're not trying to build optimal. We're just trying to build winning. And for the most part, we need drivers that are going to score a top 10 DFS score. Not a top 10 finish, but a top 10 DFS score, which actually, for the most part, the winning lineup will have drivers in the real-life top 10. Real-life top 10s, plus their place differential, typically translate into DFS top 10s. But for this part of the spreadsheet, we're looking at drivers' top 10 rate. And you can see John Hunter Nemechek, being a small sample size, has earned a top 10 DFS score 67% of the time. He has four DFS top 10s. So, you know, it's four out of six. It's really not that bad. And we go down. Justin Haley is next on our list in 43% of the races that he has participated in. Again, smaller sample size than some of the other drivers. The other drivers are almost near 40 races. But nonetheless, Haley's been around for a decent amount of time. And we know that Haley absolutely chopped it up for Colic in the Xfinity Series. 43% of the time, he is a top 10 scorer. Is that optimal? Maybe not. But is he getting to, you know, a scoring place where he's going to be in a winning lineup? Yes. Austin Cindric, next on our list at 40%. Anthony Alfredo at 40%. He hasn't been in very many lineups because he hasn't raced very much. But if we are stacking in the back, if we're going 30-10 to win, if we're trying to build a winning lineup, not an optimal lineup, we don't nail the top six drivers. Maybe we have six drivers that make it into the top 11. That's pretty good. You got six drivers that survive, pat yourself on the back. You got six drivers that make it into the top 11, start do-si-do, you know? And so here we go, Anthony Alfredo, Justin Haley, John Hunter Nemechek. All cheap, not that salary really will matter at Talladega, but all more than likely to start in the back in this race. Chastain at 37%. He had a pretty good sample size there. Eric Jones, he's been around since 2016, 35%. Corey LaJoie, he has also been around and never been in great equipment. $6,600, not that salary matters. 34%. Chris Buescher, 32%. These are all familiar names. They're not necessarily winners, right? Like, Buescher never wins, but he is always up there battling. Actually, he did finally get a super speedway win. But he was always like that top five safe guy. He was the safer, better version of Ryan Preece for years. Corey LaJoie never wins, but he's always there. Eric Jones does have some wins. Chastain does have a Cup Series super speedway win, and he is always dicing it up. Hamlin, 31%, not a surprise. William Byron, 30%. He's been on quite the super speedway heater in 2023. There's Preece, aforementioned. Chase Elliott at 30%. Bubba Wallace, Ryan Blaney. Kind of surprised that Ryan Blaney's number is not higher, given that he has won a bunch of races, has a lot of top finishes, but still 29%, 14th on the board. He's got a larger sample size to pull from. So you expect, oh, but Blaney's been one of the best. He has been recently. Remember, we are pulling data for over a decade here. And so he's got a decade's worth of data, whereas some of the guys that are above him, it's only been a handful of seasons. And so it's not really an apples-to-apples comparison there. Being over close to 30% still is a pretty solid number. Now, that's just another data point for you to look at and look at how many top 10s. And even then, we look at, 11 times he's got a DFS top 10 score. Now, you still might be scratching your head and saying, look, man, he's a good super speedway racer. Why is he still only at 29%? We're not looking at raw top 10s. We're not looking at real life top 10s. We're looking at DFS top 10s. And the problem with Blaney, and I'm actually kind of surprised that he even ranks this high, 29%, is that he can't score fantasy points when he starts up front. We're talking about DFS points. Is his top 10 rate good? Yeah, it's better. He's the best statistically. You look at his top 10, his top 5, his win rate, he's the best. But he finishes up front, but he starts up front. And so he doesn't score a lot of fantasy points. He doesn't end up in the top 10 on the DFS scoreboard as often. Because not due to his racing, not due to wrecking or some sort of skill problem or equipment problem. He just simply doesn't have the opportunity to score fantasy points because he can't get place differential because he is not starting in the back. So for him, even given the situation, circumstances, to be a 29% rate top 10 DFS driver, that's fairly strong. Considering most super speedway races, he's not starting in the back. Thus, he doesn't have the same opportunity as other drivers to score a lot of fantasy points. I just want to make sure I touch on that. So even like guys like Elliott and Hamlin, it's really kind of special that they're even at 31% and 30% because they're typically starting up front. And yet they still are scoring fantasy points. And when they do have the opportunity to score place differential, they're doing it and getting a top 10 day. Whereas we look at races for Haley and Nemechek and Alfredo, their opportunity is much easier and much more common. So for Justin Haley, 43% of the time to score that, well, it's not really a fair comparison because you start the race in the back, then great, you have an actual race where you can score. You know, you got Hamlin, say, starting fifth. Well, he's not going to get a top 10 DFS score more than likely. He doesn't have an opportunity in that race. Haley has an opportunity in that race. So not the most fair comparison there. But either way, that is what we're looking for, though, in the end, is a top 10 score. And it's not going to be a fair comparison this weekend. You know, when we see that Hamlin's starting eighth, you don't want to play him. Too bad, so sad. We're stacking in the back, 30-10 win, not trying to build the opto, trying to build the winning lineup. That'll do it for today's rant. And I don't feel like I need to apologize to anybody. Like the video if you enjoyed it. Subscribe to the channel. Share with others, recruit others, join this movement. I really hope that I'm helping you out. I'm trying to save you time. I'm trying to save you money. You don't need to spend it anywhere else. I'm trying to make it easy for you to build these fantasy NASCAR lineups. And when you save time and it's easy and you use the different tools, then you're going to have fun. And I hope that'll help you have fun. You're helping me have fun. When you subscribe, when you buy a package, you pay for the diapers, although there's no diapers anymore. That was way back in 2019-20. We've moved on past the diapers. We're still buying clothes, so you can think of it that way, but it's part of the thing. It's a selling point, the support idea. There is not officially daycare, but there's a babysitter. It was an official daycare when we first started the channel. And boy, God, was it expensive. But, you know, babysitters are not cheap either. Next year, kindergarten, so get a little bit of money back. And then, the one thing that probably won't change anytime soon, much to my wife's chagrin, although I don't think she minds, is the Mickey D's. I don't eat it anymore. I used to love it, but, you know, that would be pretty hypocritical of me to record a Fantasy NASCAR podcast while on the treadmill and then also partake in McDonald's. Nothing wrong with McDonald's. Former employee myself, really appreciate the business and what they've done. They've made me happy plenty of times over the years. In retrospect, they probably made me very sad over the years and broken my soul. My go-to was always a double cheeseburger, McDouble during hard times. A large fry, small fry during hard times, which were most times. Diet Coke, and a side of Mac sauce. Boom, goes the dynamite. That's what I would always get. Very simple, very easy. I'm a man of simple pleasures. But I no longer do that. But my son does. How do you feed your son that slop? It's the way, same way my father fed me that slop. It's what we do. And now the kids are going to be kids. I let him eat pizza rolls. I let him eat part of pizzas. I let him eat candy bars. I'm not raising a, you know. Let the kids be kids. Let them hang out at Big Ron's. Let them drink a Grimace shake and turn into some sort of deceased corpse. It doesn't matter to me. Let them have fun. I'm taking you to Mickey D's, and I'm taking you to Mickey D's because you're helping me pay for the Mickey D's by buying the sheets. Did I listen to Dennis' podcast because I thought there was going to be a stat, and instead he just talks about McDonald's characters? Yes, you did. Like, subscribe, share. I love you guys, and I love that you decided to stay here for this. I'm blessed. I really am. I can't say that enough, because if you're still listening to the stupid stuff that I'm saying, then I'm a lucky man, and you are a great person. I love you. Trip the light. Fantastic.